Arkansas, for Was It Really That Good? With my co-host, Gene Jackson. What the hell's going on, Gene? Hey, where are you at tonight, Gene? I know you're all over the United States right now.
I am currently sitting in a Hampton Inn in Dublin, Georgia.
I thought she was going to say Dublin, Ireland there for a minute.
I'm not international yet, but how ironic that all these months and the last couple of years of us doing podcasts together, and you were in the Eastern time zone and I was in the Central one, you finally moved back to Central, so I take my ass to the Eastern one just to screw things up.
Well, with this is coming out in September. It was supposed to come out in August, but you know what? We've been so busy with everything in real life. I wasn't able to catch up with you with the move, and then you're doing some stuff and you're for your shoot job, is what we like to call it. Yes. In the business, shoot job. So what we're going
to
do?
Just proud to have one at this point.
Amen. Yeah, we just talked before we went on air. I just have to keep my mouth shut sometimes to keep my shoot job. So you can't live on pennies. So a couple months back, we actually went over and we looked at WWE Raw on 7/20/19. So 7/20/1998. How's that? And we said, hey, wouldn't it be awesome? We'd just go over and we'll watch Nitro that was airing the same night and see, was it really that good? So, Jesus, what was your word last episode? It was word of the episode.
Oh.
Convoluted.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, my God, is all I can say about this. As y'all can tell, but there's some good things, but jeez, they throw a lot of shit at you, Nitro.
You know, when we watched Raw, having not watched any of these in so long, I remember thinking when we finished the episode and we decided we were going to go watch the Nitro from the same night, I thought, well, you know, Nitro, I don't remember it really being that convoluted. This will be a lot simpler and easier to follow. But man, I forgot that by 98, WCW was just as bad. Holy crap.
It was. I mean, it started out, they showed some clips where Hall and Nash are fighting. They're into it. It was. Here's my problem with the whole 3 hours. They're showing clips all the time. So why do you know? I understand promoting what's going on in the storyline, but, man, you could give some of the matches, you know, more time instead of we have what happened last week. So Hall and Nash at this point I guess Hall's the babyface, Hall's the heel, Nash is the babyface. Let me say something. I don't think they should ever break these two guys up, ever, when they're in a wrestling company. That's like breaking up Stan and Steve, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I didn't like this back then when I watched it. Wasn't a fan of it, rewatching it now. I mean, Hall and Nash help spark this whole big, you know, run for WCW, and to go split them up was just, I don't know what the hell they were thinking. And like I say, it doesn't play any better now than it did back then.
No, Hall comes out, does the interview, it's just real basic. And at this time, you know, I don't know whether this was when he was like in and out or really messed up all the time. I know that's part of the storyline. So we got a little bit of the interview later on with Nash, and Nash is talking about, you know, Hall's got problems and all that. So I'm not sure this was really after he came back or what.
I just remember hearing in the shoot interview one time, Scott Hall said, hey, the best way to get yourself over is being drunk on TV. Is to be drunk on TV. So I think it was the angle, but I think it was a bit of a shoot too. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just, backstage after this show, all I could think was that they were just running around. I told the wife, I said, they were just getting to the show and running around and going, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. Let's do that. And Bret Hart, who we'll talk about in a little bit, just looks so totally out of place here. We had a Stevie Ray squash at first. That was our first match. Chavo came out, ended up with Stevie Ray, still had the TV title, even though he said he did. There's all kinds of stuff going on with him and Booker T. They're splitting him up, too, which is so stupid. So there's a lot of stuff going on there that ain't that I didn't really understand. I was like, okay.
You talk about convoluted. I mean, they're trying to, the commentary is trying to explain how Stevie Ray's a TV champ, but he just said he left the belt because of some controversy with Booker T, and then Chavo Guerrero shows up with the belt, and then Stevie grabs the belt from him, but then he's hiding it behind his back. And it's just like, what the hell is this? Like, right out of the gate.
And I love Chavo at this time. He had the worst of with him. I just love that. And then we go back to last week, setting it up an angle where Bagwell's out in the chair, Rick Steiner's out there, and Hogan, which I love this, pushes the wheelchair and Bagwell goes tumbling. It's typical. We just did a cliche episode, Cool Kids Countdown cliche episode, and we talked about this. It was like every time you see a wheelchair, you know something's going to go wrong, and you know, which we'll tell just in a few minutes, but that was episode 249, so you always know something. The person in a wheelchair is a heel, so why the hell? What's going on there?
If we just to screw with everybody, if we ever book a show, Brian, we got to bring somebody out in a wheelchair holding a birthday cake, and then it's going to be like, oh, my God, what calamity is about to take place?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Then we had the other cliche, too, later on with somebody on a stretcher, and they hit them. So, yeah, there you go. So we did that. We set this up for a little bit later. What came out? Chris Jericho came out for an interview, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, this is where Chris Jericho's career really started to take off right here, and he really started to get his personality over, and sometimes you forget just how much fun stuff and fun promos that he did in WCW before going to WWF back then.
Yeah, I think this was when, like you said, all of a sudden he decided he could be a character. Good stuff. Just a very, very good interview. You know, calling Mean Gene Mean and stuff like that. I just thought that was hilarious. We had Hall come out again. Then we had something. All of a sudden we had a wrecked car, which was way above everyone's head. It was a joke about Jay Leno, but no one really got it. I mean, even the announcers had a hard time just telling us what the hell that was about.
But poor O'Shavani was pimping it as hard as he could. How many times during, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but my God, how many times during Bischoff's terrible bit could he say, he's stealing the jokes from Friday Night's Tonight Show? He was, I hope he got a bonus for trying to get that turd of an angle over.
Oh, God, that was horrible. First, we had Mongo, speaking of horrible, and Sick Boy. And then they did an angle where Bring the Horseman back, where they showed Malenko trying to get him to bring the horseman with Benoit. A guilty pleasure of mine was Mongo. So I know that's you probably crack up about that. But didn't we have Raven actually? No, Raven didn't interfere in this match. He interfered in the Saturn match later on.
Right, right.
But yeah, this was just man. I'm not going to say we could have a better match, but I think we could come close to having a better. Mongo would, but for some reason, I loved Mongo.
I just had to keep telling myself every time Mongo wrestled, at least he ain't on freaking commentary. Those early Nitros were hard to listen to, man. Good God. Bobby the Stain! That was his big line. Bobby the Stain. That was his hilarity.
Oh, it was, just, and for some reason, you know, they're trying to get Arn. Arn does, this was from Thunder, and Arn does this just tremendous promo where you're just, like, getting chills. You're like, oh, my God, among all of this, we got a Chris Jericho promo, and we got an Arn Anderson promo, and it really showed you how good Arn was on the microphone.
Yeah, and sadly, you knew it was leading to nothing because Arn never wrestled again, you know, after that point. So it was a great promo, but, you know, it really didn't lead to anything much.
No, he said something about his neck and the whole deal. I've listened to Bischoff's podcast a little bit. He really talks about when they Thunder and having so much television on at this time kind of being, what the hell are we doing? You know, I mean, there's so much to do and so much time to fill. What are we doing? So that reminds me, Bischoff comes out trying to act like Jay Leno in one of the worst segments I've ever seen in professional wrestling, and I seen Willie the Clown one time on an independent show. he actually, they showed this almost three times completely.
That was what was most disheartening. It's like, all right, you aired it live, and oh my God, he died a horrible, brutal death. And so we replay it two more times. It's like, good God, people. I mean, I understand where they were going with Leno in the future and all that, but my God, it was. And if those are the jokes that Leno told on tonight's show, my God, it's a wonder he stayed on TV as long as he did.
Well, it's all about delivery, man. You know that. You're a comedian in training. You know, it's about the delivery. I thought it was horrible. The wife was watching and she said, is that really supposed to be that bad? I said, in my mind, I think it is supposed to be that bad, but it just was, it was horrible. So they started showing the Nash videotape where Nash was real serious, talking about his friend having problems, and I actually liked this promo. And then all of a sudden you see Hall, which we knew was going to happen. Hall grabs the videotape. There's only one tape of that interview that exists.
Yes, kids. Back in those days, on both Nitro and Memphis Television and Mid-South, there was only one tape in existence. And if the heels took that tape, you were fucked.
Or you could have the videotape around all the time and use it for collateral against something. So, you know, that was always a fun thing to do. So this led to Hall and then Nash and Hall fighting outside all over all the trailers that were out there. Looked like, you know, a trailer park in Mississippi or something. But they were, I just kept shaking my head. Why are you putting these two guys against each other? Is what I just could not really. Could not come up with a reason why they wanted to do this.
Well, everybody knows if you're going to have wrestling around a trailer park in Mississippi, you're going to have a bunkhouse fight in the bed of a 18-wheeler. That's how you have.
And if you do, you're going to have Hollywood Jimmy as part of it, too.
That's right. But you're going to fake it and actually do it in Georgia. That's a whole other podcast.
There you go. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick commercial, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back from commercial. We want to thank our sponsors. Gene, we have Bret Hart coming out. And Bret Hart, God, he just looks out of place, right? I mean, is it just me? You always see him on WWE, so I think that's part of it. But he just looked out of place here.
I was a huge Bret Hart fan back in the day. I was a fan of the Hart Foundation in the 80s, in the 90s. I loved the whole heel run of the Hart Foundation with Hillman, Bulldog, and Anvil and all that. I love the whole playing the hero in Canada and being the heel in America. Just great stuff that had not really been seen outside of Lawler doing that in Memphis and Texas. But not one thing that he did in WCW, and I was a WCW fan, but not one thing he did in WCW landed for me. It all just felt off. He felt out of place. He didn't. That intensity and whatnot, you know, that you saw from him in WWF just was never there. I just felt like he wasn't into any of it. I don't know, man. This was no different.
Just looked out of place to me. I never was a huge Hart fan at first, but I remember, funny that we talk about Nash during this whole episode, I remember seeing him against Nash in a match. And him making Nash looked like $1 million. And then I seen Nash with somebody else, and it was like, God, Nash is horrible. And then I remember Bret had made him look like $1 million. And I was like, well, I kind of see what everyone sees of Bret Hart now. So this is Bret Hart. And this bothered me, and I don't know why, but someone beat up DDP, and Conan's out there, and they keep saying, I wonder who beat him up. Well, Conan's beating him up. I mean, who beat him up? Well, I don't know. Who beat him up? So this is all about the plan for the U.S. title, for the main event, and it's going to be Hart against DDP, and I'll talk about what really bothered me about all this. But we hear about this from that point on. I mean, they don't talk about nothing else, and then they never really give us a match, so it's just really shitty to me. Sonny Ono, that sneaky freaking Japanese guy. See, another cliche here. And Nagata was there. Man, Nagata looks so young because I'm used to him being G1 about 4 years ago. He had a solid match with Saturn. They didn't get a lot of time. Then Raven comes out and actually causes Saturn the win. So Nagata wins.
And Raven looked good here. I forgot, you know, what a... I'm sure he wasn't clean back then, but just I've only seen him in recent stuff, and forgot that there was a time when Raven was in shape and looked somewhat vibrant, and he had an interesting run in WCW that's worth talking about at some other time. But we got a lot of ground to cover here. But
everybody was there just collect a check. There was so much money going on there. And then, well, let's talk. Canyon makes the save. Talk about somebody just freaking awesome. He does all kinds of moves. That pile driver on Kidman from the second rope, I thought he actually killed Kidman. Then Saturn turned on Canyon, who was helping him.
Yeah, just, man, so
they
much.
They did that twice
turning.
On the show.
And not delivering on matches and replaying everything 100 times. Not to spoil the ending here, but anyway.
Hart, they show an interview with Hart from last week. Another, always good on the microphone. It was a good interview. Then we had Sting and Nash, who were the tag team champs at the time, putting their belts against, but he was the Giant. And Scott Hall, Brian Hildebrand, my friend Brian Hildebrand was actually the referee, which was really cool. Something I noticed here, it's like throughout the whole show, but really right here when they had stars wrestling, was the difference between the sound that I think we mentioned this on Raw too, the sound that the crowd was making compared to the sound the crowd is making now. It is a total different thing. It's like those guys are over, and now it's like people are just coming to – they just come into an event. Sting, Nash, Show, and Hall were all over. The crowd was nutty.
Yeah, they really were. And I was never a big fan of Wolfpack Sting. I don't know. The red face paint looked weird. And, like, in this instance, he's out there in black jeans. And I don't know. Just Wolfpack Sting just did not sit well with me.
Well, y'all heard it here, right here. Wolfpack Sting was not Gene Jackson's favorite, so there you go. I actually like Wolfpack Sting. So I was a closet. I wasn't in the closet, but I was a closet Sting fan. I did call him Stink for a long time until he turned into the Crow character.
I was a huge Sting fan from Surfer Sting straight on through. The red face paint and the goatee just looked weird to me during this stage of it. Man, Sting and Vader feud is like one of my all-time favorites from when I was a teenager.
Yeah. They did some weird psychology here. They like did a hot tag for Nash. Nash lasted maybe 2 seconds and got cut off, and then all of a sudden did another hot tag and it to Sting. I mean, none of that made any sense. Hart then interfered, and Hall ends up pinning Sting. And we have new champs, the Giant and Scott Hall.
And I thought the belt just looked tiny on the Giant, but then when I seen Hall with it, when they come back out later, I realized those are just a small version of those tag belts, because I thought, man, that belt looks tiny on the Giant. But then I saw Hall with his, like, oh, those were when they had the little version of that belt.
Oh, man. The Giant, during one of these parts, he smoked cigarettes, and you can see the size of the cigarette, and it is freaking hilarious. Do you remember, speaking of the Giant, do you remember his jail stay in Memphis, Tennessee?
Yeah.
A girl at the grocery store asked him if he was really that big or something like that, and he pulled out his penis and flapped it up on the counter and said, "What do you think? Am I really that big?" or something like that. So then they showed video of Lex Luger getting him out of jail. I thought that was hilarious. Like, they didn't send – it wasn't nobody from the company, you know. It was like one of the workers.
Yeah.
Ah, come on, man. Next match was – you know, I really liked Alex Wright in Disco Inferno. I always liked Disco. It was always comedy, but I liked him. They were against two guys that were never comedy, and that was Chono and Muta. A real quick match, and then we had Norton coming out and destroying everybody.
And I said this to Rosie when me and her watched it. What was the point of Norton coming? I thought when we were watching it, I was like, okay, so they're letting Norton come out and do his three moves on Disco and Alex Wright, so we don't have to see him in a match. And then two matches later, he had a match. Like, well, then what was the point of him coming out there and destroying Alex Wright and Disco Inferno then, if he's coming out to wrestle anyway?
I don't even think I listed that match. I remember it, but I didn't even put it down. I mean, it just so much. I didn't even count the matches, but there were so many matches that meant nothing, which I kind of understand. Oh, here we go. Jim Powers. Yeah. He wrestled Jim Powers. I made a note here, and I just didn't realize it until after rewatching it. The Nitro girls were all good looking. No, don't get me wrong there, but man, that just came off real, real cheesy to me. I was like, why did they just come out and dance and then that was it? And I mean, no, it just looked silly to me.
Well, speaking of silly, okay, what about the fact that DDP got jumped like 40 minutes ago? Kimberly's been in the back this whole time. You can only assume that they had to wait till she come out there to dance to come get her. And oh my God, something happened to DDP 45 minutes ago. I was like, again, what's the only word you can say? Convoluted.
Bitch, where was you? That's your husband. What the hell? Why are you out here dancing?
She was giving Bischoff a hand job before the Jay Leno skit.
Hey, that's just rumors there, but you know, they like to do the old swaparoo. Then we had two of my favorite guys, Tokyo Magnum and Ultimo Dragon. I remember, like, here's what I remember about Nitro. Let's fast forward through so much shit. I mean, it's like a little bit of an interview and fast forward, because I always taped both of them. And then just fast forward, and then stop and watch Tokyo Magnum and Ultimo Dragon. When Magnum came over, I remember trying to get as much stuff in Japan, and that was VHS, and seeing him. He ended up being just an excellent, excellent worker.
You know what my one takeaway from that match was?
What?
In a 3-hour show, why would you not put more space in between Alex Wright and Disco Inferno and Tokyo Magnum? You got him out there dancing like Alex Wright in the very next match.
It made no sense.
After Alex Wright was just out there doing that. But that's trying to apply psychology to, I mean, you mentioned that in the tag match, but that's been one of my biggest takeaways from watching the old Nitros and Raw, is there was barely an ounce of psychology to anything either show did in this era.
Well, it's just the tiny stuff. I mean, as soon as he started dancing, I said, that's someone else's gimmick. Quit fucking doing that. That's what I said. So it's just, I mean, it would be like every guy on an indie show dance. Wait, we could do that too in the show. There you go. We're going to have every.
At least put one in the first hour and one in the third hour. If you're going to do that, at least spread it apart where you didn't just see the guy who did it. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Right. Oh, it was horrible. And then speaking of horror, I always liked Scott Norton. He always like he's killing people. But this match, he seemed to have pretty good, you know, rapport, I guess, with Jim Powers, because he didn't look like he killed him. Just a squash match. And then we had Hogan, Bischoff, Brutus Beefcake, which we've learned on the podcast that Bischoff just loved Brutus Beefcake, by the way. God came out, and then we had the devil later. No, I mean, I was just like, how many people can they put in the ring? Hogan does his whole spiel. He was, you know, that gimmick was over like fuck. I don't know if this was how far along this was, because I'm horrible with dates. But he looked awesome, but I got tired of the interview before it even ended.
Yeah, and Rosie was like, good God, all of them were in the NWO. I'm like, babe, that ain't half of them. You still got Rude and Hennig and a bunch of people that aren't, and Buff and Steiner and like all these that aren't even out there. Like, that ain't right. Half the freaking NWO Hollywood or whatever.
Oh, we forgot. Somewhere during all of this, we had Buff come out to talk to Rick Steiner during an interview. And then Buff jumped out of the fucking wheelchair. Woo, really? He jumped out of the wheelchair, and something else. They had broke up the Steiners at this time. So all that stuff was just so fuck. Why you break up those guys, too? So I'm sorry I forgot about that. Jesus.
I hated that at the time, because people were so bought into Bagwell's injury because it was a legit injury and people knew that you could have actually turned him into a somewhat feasible babyface out of that whole deal and ran with it. But instead, you have him jump out of the fucking wheelchair and just going back to being the shitty heel sidekick to Scott Steiner that he had been.
Yeah, at least mid-level babyface, just because everybody knew that was legit. And him and Steiner could even be, you know, I mean, of all people, turn to Steiners and say, I meant to do that to you, you know, kind of thing. I remember, absolutely. Go ahead.
No, absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, I remember when Bob Armstrong had his accident with his, you know, the weight spell on his face.
Right,
And they wanted DiBiase to come out and claim. They didn't know Bob was going to live or die. I mean, live or die. And they just didn't know, and they wanted DiBiase to come out. He eventually came out and took the heat for it, but at first he said, "Nah, I don't think I will."
Man, he should have come out and dropped that Ivan Drago line. He'd have been the heel of the world.
If he dies, he dies.
So next we had Conan against Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero is the greatest wrestler ever lived because he had a decent match with Conan. I love Conan's podcast, and Conan even admits he was never a good wrestler, never really trained professionally. But Eddie caught everything. Chavo interfered, and I can't remember the finish. He interfered, and then we had a DQ. We had a DQ because a horse got involved. So just silly. I mean, Eddie, if you had Eddie Guerrero, I would always put him in there with somebody that could go 100 miles like him. But yeah, he had a decent match. A few really fun spots with Conan. Next, we had Luger against Henning. Rude was there. I loved Henning and Rude together.
Yeah, they were a fun pair, and you knew they had that legitimate, you know, Minnesota connection. And they were a good pairing. It's just a shame. I don't know that. I just don't think with all the other people there and all the other stuff going on, Henning never really got a chance to get over as much as he could have if he wasn't stuck in the big ginormous NWO mix all the time.
Oh, yeah, I agree, too. He did. They did the referee bump, Perfect Plex for the win. And then Luger ended up doing, which I thought was crazy because Rude was hurt at this time, but. But he was doing, or he was faking he was hurt. That might have been one of those Lords of London.
He had cashed in a Lords of London and couldn't wrestle, but wanted to, but yeah, they wouldn't let him, or else he'd had to pay all that money back.
And then here we go, the main event that we've been talking about the whole night. Hart comes out, finally DDP comes out. Remember, DDP was beat up. So he has a bunch of tape around his ribs, his knee, his eye, all kinds of stuff. And Hart is going against DDP. And guess what happens? You got it. Hart puts the sharpshooter on him. 1, 2, 3. No, he passes. Does he pass out? I think he passes out.
Yeah.
Or he gives up.
Yeah.
I had a problem with this. I usually don't have a problem. But I had a problem because Hart over... Nothing against DDP, because they did a good job getting DDP over. But Hart just beat somebody that was already beaten up really bad. So why not go out there, have a 20-minute match, and DDP almost beat him, but Hart does beat him. Because they spent all this time getting DDP over as, you know, DDP could win. So it would look better that way. Now it looks like Hart's a big coward, which is what heels do, but still... Like I said, you're right about Hart. Nothing they did with Hart here made any sense whatsoever.
No, for the money that you know they spent on him, they got no return on that investment at all. It's their own fault. But if you think back, and Bischoff has copped to this a lot on his podcast over the years that they've done it. You know, if you think back through the years, and you can go back into the 80s up to the end, that was WCW's weakest thing was finishes. Like, they would build great angles and just completely shit the bed on the finish most of the time. Back to the Luger and Flair days. And then, you know, you think the Sting and Hogan buildup, which was like one of the greatest long builds they had done in years and years, and all that would have had to happen is Sting comes in and beats Hogan clean, and they fucked it up with that convoluted bullshit screwy finish that they did, you know, and just time and time again. You can't hardly name a time where somebody just went over clean. You know, they always had to have some kind of fuckery going on, I guess, because they thought that saved face for the baby faces or the heels, either one. I don't know, but it's terrible. Like, if you name me a great WCW match with a good clean finish where somebody got over.
And it had a lot to do with Hogan's having so much creativity. And then, you know, in Bischoff's ear all the time, Bischoff just being a mark for Hogan. I mean, he was Hogan, so what the fuck, you know? I mean, if you're going to hire Brutus Beefcake, you'd hire anybody. So, all right, so, Gene, I'm going to ask you, was it really that good?
Not really.
Not at all. There was the Jericho interview. I will go with the Jericho interview, the Bret Hart interview from the week before. What else? I liked the Nash thing, but we didn't get to see it. And maybe Tokyo Magnum against Ultimo Dragon. And I got to see Eddie Guerrero. But other than that, just not good, not good at all. And it's really crazy that we watched these two shows, and at wrestling was so hot at that time. And then people say, well, Raw's horrible now, blah, blah, blah. Man, I don't know if you could get, I mean, at least there's, I don't know, man. I don't know if it could get this bad. I really don't.
That's what's funny, because everybody's like, oh, AEW comes around. I hope we relive the glory days of the Attitude Era. But really, these shows do not hold up, Brian. They really don't. I mean, you can find a good one here and there, but overall, that time period, the shit does not hold up. And most of the good stuff, like you just said, is promos on both shows. It's hard to find good matches on those shows back during this time. You find some good promos, you find some good angles, but there was not a hell of a lot of good wrestling going on there.
Yeah. Not at all, not at all. And, you know, we would have to look at some of the pay-per-views during this time to see what was going on. All right, guys. Thank you, Gene, for joining me. Thanks, all the listeners. We had a fantastic August, and I appreciate all the downloads, the listens, and all everything that you do to help out here. Same bad time, same bad channel, on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there! And as Gene knows, I love my mama.